Hey, on today's Living in Las Vegas, you know, a lot of the people who listen to our show or watch our show are locals. They actually live here in the city, or they're people who are thinking about moving to Las Vegas. So for today's episode, we're going to talk about the top 10 things you should never, never do if you're a Las Vegas local. Plus, you know, allowing the live chat to kind of decide what we talked about last week was such a hit that we're bringing the band back together again. Yeah, maybe, probably. We'll see. And of course, as always, have a drink on me. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Look, it says so right there, where if you're planning to move to Las Vegas to be a professional gambler, well, God bless your little soon-to-be completely broke heart. Let's get started. Living in Las Vegas starts now.
Yes, it does!
Yay!
Come on!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas podcast!
Yeah! Look out!
Ouch! And now your host,
yes,
a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Singer brother Scott
Esther, Scott Whitney.
Go!
Hi!
I don't know.
I got nothing. I'm a white guy. I got no hip. I got no style. I got no game.
Hey, everybody.
I've got no game.
Okay. Well, welcome, everybody, to Living in Las Vegas podcast. You're on the Vegas Video Network. I'm your humble host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, or should I say, buenos dias. That's right. It's Cinco de Mayo here, my amigo. Donde los bonos, por favor. Dos Equis. Blanca.
Donde está el baño de caballeros?
Sí, sí.
Down the hall to the right.
The
Corona.
Salute. We are glad to be here on the Cinco de Mayo.
Hola, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo estás?
Hola, oh, muy bien. Okay. Muy bien. ¿Et tú?
Sí.
Oh, that's about the extent of my Spanish speaking capabilities.
Yep, my wife will be impressed. The Spanish teacher that she is, who's fluent in three languages, will say, really? That's all you know.
She's a Spanish teacher?
Yes.
You know what I got in Spanish? F.
Did you?
I actually
flunked. For fantástico.
I flunked Spanish. I remember the guy, it was Mr. Douche.
Ramirez.
Something, I forget. But he was a really, he was just a bastard. Just an evil, evil, evil guy. And I had an issue with evil.
Right.
So I, you know, like, uno, dos, tres, go blank yourself. You know what I can do? So I'm, go, so I can do that.
You could.
I'm going to have to do that. So we're trying to stay a little cleaner because, oh, we've got all these people who want to broadcast our show. We're extremely important, which is complete and utter shit, but nonetheless.
No, you hit the beef at the wrong spot.
I got most of it.
No, you
I feel
didn't.
Like I did. Really?
No, it's got to hit the cuss counter.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. Anyways, so very happy to have all you guys here. The over-under, of course, is going to be 60 minutes. We're going to knock it out of the park. You want to know why? I've got timing next to our notes this time. Before, we were winging it. We didn't really know what we were
doing.
Well,
that's important. I'm not sure having structure is important. We've already introducing me, so it's perfect. We're doing really well.
Oh, by the way, I almost forgot. Jeez. Here, I'm joined by, oh my God, he's such a prima donna. Let me just say why he's such a prima donna. He's so important, he demanded that I have a fan. So there's a fan blowing on the side.
I meant a groupie. I didn't mean a fan.
Yeah, no, he wanted a fan, a blowy fan. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's Brett Grant, everybody.
It's a small fan, but it's a step in the right direction.
Sing for us, Brett.
I can't sing. I couldn't carry a note in a suitcase.
Okay. So that was kind of a thing. All right. So like I said, over under 60 minutes. My apologies to my co-host for not
introducing him. I got a little freaked out by speaking a different language. Sometimes my brain starts thinking
I'm Scott Whitney and nobody else in the room except for that guy, and we're not going to introduce him.
Right, okay. Right. He's over on Scott? That side. I'm okay. I apologize for that. Okay, so here we are. Real fast, couple things I'm going to say really quick, and then we're going to get to the good stuff. First of all, congratulations to my friend Steve Catanzaro, right?
It's Catanzaro.
That was very good.
Well, he's Italian.
Oh, I know he is. Yeah. So he's the guy I told you about who was playing at Boulevard Cocktail Lounge Company, whatever it is, over on the link.
Oh, he told us that story.
And yes, he was owed $7,000. And I told him, I said, you got to sue these guys. So he did. Oh. And he sent the lawsuit to those guys, and he got a check for more money than he was owed. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, very nice.
And the moral of the story is, and nobody who's a musician will listen to me, but that's what you're supposed to do. If they don't pay you, sue them. And that's the right thing.
Well, it's the threat of the suit. Just the letter from the lawyer, which might cost you $150.
Yeah, it's no lawyer. It's a small claim suit.
Okay.
But nonetheless.
You probably could accomplish the same thing with a letter from a lawyer that says, look, Joe performed. You owe him $7,000. Yeah, yeah. Come up with the money or we're going to court.
It was good. Now, and he called me today to tell me about it. And I'm like, thank goodness, because if I got a default, which is what happened when I sued a guy,
right,
I was default. Getting paid after you have a default judgment is hard. And I didn't get paid against the guy who I sued, one for $7,500. He's actually a professional con artist. Funny enough, can't find the bastard. But nonetheless, good for him. Next, guess what? Stardom. We're meeting famous people all the time. Brett, who did you meet? Boom.
I met Marty Allen.
What?
Remember Marty and Allen and Rossi? Here's the amazing thing about Allen and Rossi. First of all, Marty Allen is 93 years old.
There he is.
There's a picture of me and Marty Allen. All right. You remember Marty Allen with the hair? He still has it. He's 93. He has a cane that is a baseball bat with the bottom is, the stabilizer. There's a stabilizer. And the top is a handle, but it's a baseball bat.
Really?
And he goes, this should be Mickey Mantle's baseball bat. But he's sharp as a tack.
Yucky, yucky, yucky.
He's a World War II veteran. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
And the interesting thing is, everybody remembers the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, right?
Right.
And the Beatles came to America. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles, right? Okay. Yuck. Guess who was on right before the Beatles?
Marty Allen.
And Rossi. Allen and Rossi. That was the act on the Ed Sullivan Show just prior to the Beatles. So he was in the studio. He's moving around well. He's
still smart. That's good.
He's got all his faculties without any problem.
And that Rossi guy used to live here.
Did he? Yeah.
I think he died.
I think he did, yeah. Well, they're 93. God bless him, 93.
Old. I'll take it.
I'm with you.
I'll take 93.
Yeah, he's moving around. He's laughing. He's funny. He's shorter than he used to be.
You know what? He has kind of popped up a lot more recently for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm seeing him a lot more now.
Well, he does an article every week there's a publication in town called the Vegas Voice, which is kind of geared towards seniors.
Okay.
And that's why he was in the studio, because they were doing a show. The Vegas Voice does a show on the radio station. So he was the guest on the show. That's why he was there. So you can catch him. The Vegas Voice is available at some casinos and some grocery stores.
It's just a
pickup magazine.
Okay.
With some cool articles.
Your bullet.
My bullet. Where am I at? Oh, Chick-fil-A is coming to Vegas. Chick-fil-A is coming to Vegas.
Why is that important?
It's important because of the fact they would never come. If anybody knows about the history of Chick-fil-A, it is a very religiously based Christian or family that owns Chick-fil-A. Right. And there are Chick-fil-A's all over California, Arizona, up in Utah, but there's never been any in Las Vegas.
Right.
And when you've asked people at Chick-fil-A, why aren't you in Las Vegas? Their response had been basically, we're Sodom and Gomorrah. we're not going to Vegas. About a year ago, they popped up in St. George, Utah. So I was up in St. George.
Right.
And of course, every time I think about going to Chick-fil-A, it's Sunday. Well, they're closed on Sunday. And so I caught the guy on a Monday.
There's a lot of places here that are closed on Sunday.
Yeah, you just don't realize it.
You can't buy a car here on Sunday.
Well, that's the old blue laws, and that's pretty much nationwide. A lot of places.
What?
Our car lots are closed.
I think you can buy a car in California on a Sunday.
And I know where I grew up in Missouri, you couldn't. In Illinois, they're not open. And the reason why was because back in the, 60s or whatever, they kind of decided, look, if car dealers could be open all the time, then salespeople are going to have to be there all the time, and nobody's going to spend time with their families. We don't want to be open on Sunday. That's kind of the traditional thing that a lot of places were closed on Sunday. So the car industry kind of kept that going.
I wish they would be open on Sunday.
Yeah, a lot of people do. But Vegas is a little different because of the fact that so many people have days off on Wednesday and Thursday, right, that it's not that big of a deal if some place is not open on a Sunday.
So you're pretty excited about this chicken flick or Chick-fil-A?
Well, it's a chicken sandwich. Okay, it's a chicken sandwich. I mean, it's really what it is.
Have you eaten one of these?
Oh yeah, lots of times. Good? They're in San Diego. They're in Southern California. They're in Arizona.
Any good?
Yeah, they're great. They're very good. They have waffle fries.
Are they KFC? You know,
a little sweet tea.
KFC is pretty good.
Yeah, it blows KFC out of the water. It does too. That green chicken they give you at KFC, are you kidding me?
Green chicken. What are you talking about?
The location at Flamingo, Flamingo and Durango location, like 5, 6, 8 years ago, had green chicken.
It is a place to be.
No farm living.
It is a laughable.
No.
I used to work at a KFC.
No, Zsa Zsa.
I used to get those 11 herbs and spices.
Right.
I would take them home. And we would cook pork chops in them.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It was awesome. Here's a great thing, kids. If you're in high school and you want to go to all the parties, but you don't have money, work at KFC. Because you can be cooking up the food, and they don't really keep an eye on you, so you can cook up maybe an extra bucket or so. What for? I'm bringing a bucket of chicken to the big party. I'm a hero.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Everybody's drunk. It's $3 to get in. Yes. No, I don't think so. I've got original recipes.
I've seen...
Oh, you know, Scott, come on. You're in. All the beer you can drink. All right. So yeah. I ended up in a couple.
Remember the old show, the match game.
The show with Brett.
No. The show with Chuck Woolery back in 2 and 2. What was that? Love Connection.
Love Connection.
Okay, so they're on the Love Connection. One guy is like 6'8" tall, African American guy, and he gets hooked up with a black woman. They go out on a date. They're at a basketball game. He's complaining because the seats are too close together, and she says to him, "I thought all the tall, talented guys were on the court." And he responds with, "I've seen better legs and breasts in a bucket of chicken." I thought that was great.
And they're still married today.
No, I don't think they had the love connection in that one.
Yeah. All right, next up, real fast, and this is our rapid fire. We should have like a clock in the back.
We should have a shotgun if you're gonna do rapid fire.
We can. And so that's over. Next up, the BS. Hold on, I'm gonna say because it's killing me. The bull. Sentimental stuff about Riviera. So I'm seeing all
they
these
closed yesterday, right?
Yeah, Monday at noon was the last day. So I'm seeing all these people. Oh, I miss, gosh, you know, Vegas. We're always blowing stuff up. And it's just really sad.
Me.
Here's how that works, kids. We blow things up because it didn't blow up, as the kids say. In other words, no one was going to the Riviera.
No, it was a ghost town.
No one was going. Oh, I miss it. It's old Vegas. Yes, it is old Vegas. And that's why nobody went to there. And if you ever been in the Riviera, it was a ghost town. Yeah. It's kind of creepy, kind of dark. They didn't have big light bulbs. They had little light bulbs. It was just a dank, dark, dusty kind of place. So you know what they did? They're going to blow it up. You know what? Good thing. Because no one was going there. So all you guys, we're having a party there. We're all... It's such BS.
It was such a great place. You would have been going there beforehand. But there is that part of it where we don't have any architectural history in Las Vegas. We really don't, because we do blow everything up.
Don't disagree.
And that's that part of it, I think, if you think about Old Town Vegas, wouldn't it be kind of cool to have the landmark around and the sands and the dunes? And even if they weren't obviously the great properties they are anymore, they still have the buildings here. It's not like you blow up, well, you know, nobody's living in the Empire State Building. You know, the offices aren't really old. There's great new offices down the street.
Still making money. Here's what they have. It's the Neon Museum. Go to the Neon Museum.
Which is never open, by the way.
Well, I don't run the place.
I know. I've talked to them already about
it. And who would go there, by the way? It's so damn hot in the sunshine. You don't want to look at these things in the day. You want to see them at night.
I mean, right.
Anyways. But yeah, so if you want to go see the Sahara Sun, go to the Neon Museum. And I've never been to the Neon Museum, so I don't know if it's good.
I've tried to go twice, and it's been closed both times I've gone. You have to do a private tour. They only do tours at a certain time.
Right.
And it's like, well, really? Sunday at 12 o'clock? And they're open. The gift shop's open. Can we go see the signs? Oh, no, the tour guide's not here now. Well, it's a boneyard. Why do I need a tour guide? Can't I just go walk around?
I get it. No, they got to tell a story.
Well, that's you don't have to tell the story. If I want to go to the art museum, I want to have a tour, I can go with a tour guide. Or if I want to go look at paintings, I can go on my own. Right?
No, you have to be told a story. That's how they get paid. They're making $8.95 an hour. Those people need to tell a story.
Just charge me $15 for the tickets. Let me go look at the cool signs.
Don't make it feel bad, Brett. I want to tell my story. Well,
that's what these nonprofits.
This is the very first time they used a light bulb.
That's why the nonprofits have to rely on donations as opposed to ticket sales.
This was the first 60-watt light bulb. They used it in the dot of the eye for. All right.
Next.
Next one. Brett wanted to talk about a fight at rehab.
Which is at the Hard Rock.
Right. And here's what everybody thought. No shit. Have you been to rehab? Phil's, look, at you want to see some of the darkest human life forms ever, go to rehab on a, you know, on a Saturday or Sunday. Holy camolies, man. First of all, if you ever... I'm going to turn you guys all into Jesus. Let me how you do it. So as you know, Jesus was known as walking on water, which is a pretty good trick as far as you right. know. I've got a pool. I've tried to walk on water. It's completely impossible. It's not, but I have an answer for you. Here's what you do.
You can skip.
You go to rehab yeah. and you wait a while. You wait about until about 3 or 4. There's so much goo and gunk in the pool, you know, from suntan lotion.
Other stuff.
And maybe other things. Hard to say. Alcohol. Maybe a few Jello shots.
Yeah.
Maybe some rubber-based products. I don't know, but yeah. I'm telling you right now, it's like walking on turtles. Like, you know, little turtles are floating. You yeah. can walk on them. You can walk on water. All of a sudden, you're Jesus. So you're welcome. I've just turned you into Jesus. Other than that, I don't want to go anywhere there. The first time I was there, it was with Melissa's cousins, who are big rollers there. So we got a cabana. And right next to us was CeCe DeVille. You know who that is?
Yeah.
So he's a little guitar player for Poison. And he's literally about...
Tiny dude.
Not yeah. big. He's like a pocket guitar player. Come on, CeCe. So he's like this. I'm like, hey, come here. Come here, CeCe. And he was wasted out of his gourd. Just right. wasted. You know, the slit eyes. He's got that crazy kind of blonde hair. Doesn't really think about the shampoo. Don't need shampoo. And I'm a rock star. Yes, but you're a pocket rock star. You might fall into a crack. I'm really worried about
I think he's fallen into some crack before, yes. Like,
eh, psh, oh, hey, psh, hey. All right, CeCe. How's that big tour going? You're not touring, are you, CeCe?
Yeah, no. I think I saw bad. Sammy Hagar at the pool at the Hard Rock last year. I'm assuming that was rehab where the pool was,
yep.
but it was a nighttime concert and that kind of thing. But the issue with the fight was it was more action than actually happened in the ring on Saturday night where you know, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao split about $300 million to dance. I've seen more contact at a prom than I've seen in that fight. I mean, it's, you know... they were running all over the place.
Best line was that one. I've seen more contact than a prom.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Floyd spent 36 minutes not being chased around.
Yeah. Now you brought it up. What's his name's shoulder was hurt.
Yeah, Pacquiao had a bad shoulder. And the issue there is, and we were talking about this before the show started, he wasn't able to get a shot because he did not disclose his injury to the Nevada Boxing Commission. So they said, we didn't know about it, so we're not going to give you a pain shot.
Right.
It's not going to happen. Now people are talking about they're going to sue Pacquiao or he could face disciplinary action for not disclosing the injury.
Yep.
But I look at it as gamesmanship. You're going into a fight. Yep. Forget the money for a second, because obviously this is all money motivated. But if I'm going into a situation where I have an injury, I'm not telling my opponent that my pinky hurts.
Right.
All right? I'm going to try and keep that hidden because he's going to take advantage of that injury going into it. But obviously some people who bought the fight, I did not, because I will not give a nickel of my money to that bastard known as Floyd Mayweather.
Yep.
That woman beating bastard that he is,
yep.
I'm not giving him a nickel
yep.
of my money.
Yep.
But I went and watched it at a friend's house who did buy it. So there you go. So I gave him a bottle of wine.
Did you?
Yeah.
The wine that you made?
Yeah.
Attaboy.
A little chillaxin.
That's nice.
Yeah.
All right. That's a good story.
And somebody mentioned the Kentucky Derby. That's Danny. Danny, I hit the superfecta for the Kentucky Derby.
You killed it.
Which is picking the first four horses, usually worth a lot of money. It wasn't.
Why?
Because it's kind of chalky, they would say. The favorites were all kind of there.
So, okay.
So it just didn't pay as much. Three years ago, we hit it, a combination of friends. We had a consortium of people came in. We hit the superfecta 2011 for $48,000.
Wow. How many people?
But too many, quite frankly.
All right, so I came out with five.
Well, I was actually in Louisville for the Derby. I went to the Kentucky Derby. Right. We were all there together. So it paid for my trip.
Oh.
I think of everything I did from plane fare to hotel to drinking to everything else and a little pocket money on the way back.
A buddy of ours. You want to open those?
No, I'm not very good at that. But okay, but go ahead. What'd you do your thing?
Oh, man. A buddy of mine.
You don't like that.
A buddy of mine is actually the president of the Kentucky Convention Center. Or something like that. So he was there. He was having a good time. He said he can get me on the infield. Well, 170,000 people.
Well, anybody can get on the infield.
Okay.
The infield's where all the 20-year-old college students are.
Hey, here's a fun
place to be.
Here's a tip. Don't make me feel bad when my dreams are being fulfilled.
When I was there in 2011, I was in the press box. high above Churchill Downs.
Such a snooty
hanging
bastard.
Out with the snooty bastards with the funny hats.
Right. Speaking of which, hello, snooty bastard. All right.
Well, you know, you got 170,000 people. Guess how many Johnny on the spots there are? Okay, so they can, I have a press pass. I'm going upstairs to the nice restrooms. I'll see you guys in 4 hours.
All right, let's bring this back down to where we need to be. The blessed boy conde.
I lost a.
What'd you lose?
I lost a bottle cap.
Yeah,
down goes Frazier.
We're gonna go again. Okay, so here it is. As many of you don't know, or know, hell, I don't know what you know. You people aren't telling me anything. A large number of people who watch this show either live in the Las Vegas. Or are thinking of living in
the Las Vegas. You, yeah, and your extra articles.
I know, it's an article, and I kind of like the extra article. You do. And that's why I read papers, because they have extra articles. Come on, anybody. You're a great audience. Anyways, so what we thought we would talk about today are the top things that if you're a Las Vegas local, you should never, never, never do. We are here for you.
Right.
Number one. Be a long-term renter. Let me tell you about Las Vegas.
We're talking about never do that.
Never do this. Never okay. Be a long-term renter. So Las Vegas has world-class food, world-class restaurants, world-class entertainment, world-class lodging, world-class sites around us, great location. We have third-world housing costs. It's nothing to live here. And even if you can't afford a house, where the average price of a house here, I think, is $175,000 or something like that.
Oh, it's less than that.
Okay, let's call it $150,000. It's nothing.
It's less than that.
Let's call it $125,000.
Yeah, it's
I think it's that. I think it's gone up.
But I'm going to say it's in the 130s.
So maybe one of those, somebody can look that up for us. Yeah. But it's unbelievably cheap. And wait a minute, Scott, I can't afford that. Fair enough. You can get a condo here for $60,000, $80,000.
A friend of mine is looking at condos, and I'm not making this up, in areas that are not horrible.
Yeah.
Think of Flamingo and Buffalo area.
Okay? Yeah.
Condo, $15,000. You can own a condo for $15,000.
That's my point.
Okay.
So you're renting.
Renting an apartment for $800, $900 a month. It's a year and a half worth of rent.
Yeah.
And it's paid for.
It's unbelievable. So if you're renting here, and there are still a lot of people doing it, and it just doesn't make any sense. Now, you do have to have a down payment,
right,
which means you have to have a job. That is a good idea, and jobs are relatively important. But look, guys, you can't write off that rent. You can write off that house payment. Right. And it's, I just think it's so, and by the way, for those who don't know, if you have a 30-year loan, about the first 10 years of those payments are almost pure interest. Which
maybe
means you're
more.
Yeah. Well, you don't actually make the switch to about the 25th year.
Right.
So it's a long time, which means you write that stuff off. Now, you don't get 100%. It's 33% or 28% or whatever your tax bracket is. But for the love of God our Savior, you have got to stop renting. Please, please, whatever you do, buy. Okay. Number two. You want to do it or you want me? Actually, you
go
can
ahead.
Read it.
I'm going back. I'm kind of monitoring live chat, so you got the list in front of you.
Number two, think that you can make a living as a gambler or sports bettor.
Well, the biggest thing about that is you obviously are putting your own money into it. So you have to have a large enough bankroll. You have to have the money management skills.
That's
you have
right.
to have the discipline not to chase.
That's right.
There's a lot of things go into it. And of course, you have to have a job because you can't do it without it.
And that's why my point. So we know, right. Brett and I know quite a few sports bettors and gambler
professional
guys.
Professional gamblers.
Yeah. And guess what? There's not one of them, and I mean not one of them, who makes their living only sports betting or only gambling. They all do other things.
Right.
It's important. You're actually, I think, good point.
I have a lot of we have a lot of people that we know, and I probably know more people than you do that do it, but they're all involved in other activities. Like you mentioned, I'm not talking about you're an accountant on the side. They've got jobs in radio or television, or they're doing.
They may be an accountant on the side.
They
There's
might
a couple
be,
of that going
but a lot
on
of them
too.
Are involved in sports enterprises and things like that. Yeah. I mean, you take a guy like Wayne Allen Root. Okay, Wayne Allen Root went to Harvard, was a classmate of the president.
Okay.
Okay. So he went to Harvard.
Right.
He was a guy that was on USA Network every Saturday or Sunday morning doing the gambling show. He would charge you hundreds and hundreds or thousands of dollars for his picks.
Right.
Now he sold that business and he's actually a commentator on the Blaze on Fox News. He's a political commentator now, which he's always kind of always been.
Yeah.
on the side. Now, people get bad impressions or bad things that happen with regards to the tout services, they're called.
Yeah.
So let's say, hey, Scott, for $100 a month, we'll give you picks.
Yep.
And every day you call this number. This is back in the day that you would call a number.
Yep.
At 3:30, you call, and we'll give you the game.
Yep.
And then now it's internet, and it's emailed, or it's online with a password and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and you're paying for plays to come in. And you follow their plays. And the biggest thing was in football, the scam was that half of their clients would get, let's say the Bears are playing the Packers. Half the clients got the Bears, half the clients got the Packers.
Oh, no kidding.
So 50% of your audience was loved you. Hey, wait, great call, way to go. The other half goes, we lose some.
So you're betting on
you
the
win
come.
Some, you lose some. I mean, they're just getting the money.
That's such crap. Hey, and you actually brought up a good thing. First of all, you said
there are some legitimate people, though, too.
Yeah, hold on. So, So you talk about the bankroll. I've talked to a couple guys that said if you're going to, before you get started, you have to have a $100,000 bankroll before you get started if you're going to be a serious sports bettor.
Right.
Okay. Not a lot of people have $100,000 set aside to go ahead and do that.
That's or to lose.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have streaks where you're going to lose.
And here's the other thing that's super muy importado as we are Cinco de Mayo. And it's this.
Importante.
Do you remember what the percentage is for you to break it? How many do you have to win? What percentage do you have to win before you break even?
About 54%.
52.14%.
But there's a lot. One thing that has changed in Vegas now, though, there's a lot more juice on games, especially in football. So, for example, the traditional juice in the Vigorish would be -110, meaning you'd bet $110 to win $100.
Right.
Okay, so if you bet $110 and lost, you lost $110.
Right.
If you won, you got your $110 back plus $100.
Right.
So now you got $210 in your pocket.
Right.
The problem now is, let's say the line of the game was 3, which is a huge number in football.
Football, right.
17% of football games land on 3, 4, 7, that number a bit. So it's the most popular numbers.
Right.
So the books don't want to get off of 3. They don't want to go to 2.5. They don't want to go to 3.5. So what they'll do is, instead of changing the number to 2.5 or 3.5, they'll change the line from -110 to -120 to -130 to -140.
Which means you have to win more.
140 to win 100. And when you lose now, you're not just losing 110. You're now lost 140.
That's right.
And then your bankroll thus diminishes.
That's right, which means instead of winning 52.14%, you have to win more. Here's the other thing.
Exactly.
So there's a lot of people out there who are like, oh man, I'm killing it sports betting. I'm doing 80%. There is no way you're doing 80% of winning.
Not consistently. You might go through a stretch where you're on fire. And the guys that won the Super Contest football contest last year hit at a very high clip, around 70%.
Which is astronomical. Heard of. You are considered a god if you can do 60%. If as a practice,
consistently,
you're a god.
Yeah. And the other one is, like a lot of people want to be professional poker players. And obviously, if you hit and win in a big tournament, that's fine. But it is a grind. I have a friend of mine, a guy I went to high school with. He is a professional poker player. He plays poker every day of his life. And you know what? He's homeless. He lives in his car.
Yep.
He drives around from town to town.
That's it.
And he sent me an email maybe 3 weeks ago going, I need a little bit of money. I'm like,
you're out of your mind.
Dude, give me a break. I don't know you that well.
And so there's a lot of people who've come here and who are actually problem gamblers who came here, they bought a house because they listened to my advice, and they lost a house because of problem gamblers.
Right.
So they didn't listen to that part of the advice. So it's very, very difficult to make a living as a sports bettor or a gambler. It's unbelievably difficult. Okay, next one. Pay full price for anything on this trip. Shows, hotels, restaurants. If you're a local, there is no reason to do that. Listen, it's changed now. It used to be for a while, for example, like the Cirque show, you couldn't get a local deal to save your life.
No, you couldn't. Right?
And then all of a sudden, that recession thing happened, and that had kind of an effect. And even Cirque said, you know what? And this is happening today. Two tickets for locals, $99. It's unbelievable, by the way.
Right.
You want to do like 4 seats, 5 seats from the back? I do. How's 147? Sold. I'll take that all day. And there are some, like there's different level shows, A shows, B shows, C shows.
Right.
And we've talked about this before. Like there's house seats and KSHP. You can get tickets for next to nothing, or you can get them for free, kind of. And go to shows. I mean, it's not Cirque du Soleil. It's not, I don't know, Celine Dion. But guess what? They're fun. It's kind of Vegas-y. Don't just
well,
don't
I mean, even if, even the big events. When you're looking at the fight this weekend, they're trying to sell tickets for $40,000-$50,000 a ticket. There were people giving away seats at the end, saying, "Look, I'll just here take it for $200."
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm going to eat it. Yeah. Or people are throwing out comps and saying, "You know what? I can't even go to the fight here. Take my tickets."
Yeah, yeah.
And you really don't have to know a lot of people to get the deals on the inside stuff. You just need to know a guy who might know a guy who might know a guy. So you leverage your relationships of going, "Hey, Joe, do you know anybody over at the Planet Hollywood? Yep. I'm going to go see Britney Spears." Oh, yeah, hang on a second. I might. Oh, you know what? My friend Steve might know somebody. Let me find out.
And everybody's happy to do that because they want to have a full house.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I mean, the internet has actually kind of flattened it as well, meaning like Hotel Tonight's a perfect example. So it's an application that you can get. It's free. And it's basically same day hotel.
Right.
But these prices are unbelievable. Right. And they're not crappy hotels. Encore's on there. Venetian's on there.
Right.
These are, you know, Caesar's Palace is on there.
I have
there.
That app somewhere.
It's an amazing application.
I'm looking for it.
We've used it. Well, actually, we used it driving up California. We're like, okay, we're not going to make any reservations. We're just going to do Hotel Tonight the whole way up and see what happens.
Oh, good idea.
That was great.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just great. So just, you don't have to pay. I know it's a little intimidating when you first move here. I was a little like, oh, gee, I'm just going to be the good guy. Like, I remember the very first show I saw was Amazing Jonathan.
Right.
I saw him. Like, yep. I'm
the
like,
Sahara?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I'm like, I got to see him. I've always loved this guy. Mm-hmm. So I paid for VIP tickets. I'm like, I'm going to get right up in the front of this bad boy. I'm going to see this guy. I've been watching him since I was a kid. So I'm in my VIP line. I'm like, yeah, what do you think of that? The bitches, yeah, it's pretty good. And so it's time. So the maitre d' comes up, and I'm like, well, here's my tickets. First time in Las Vegas. And I see a guy right next to me in the peon line, the general admission line, and he's like, here's my tickets, and he did the $20 handshake. And so I see this guy walk up, and we're walking up parallel, and he sits right next to me. I'm like, whoa. What's happening? Why are you getting... I VIP. And that's when I realized, nope.
I will
never do that again. Yeah. It's all about the handshake,
that's
baby. It's all about
time.
The handshake. All right, next. Don't do this. Don't live in South Reno. which
that's south of Kentucky.
Which is code.
South of Henderson, Kentucky.
Yeah, so
or
South
Reno Northern,
yes, it's code for Aliante.
Aliante.
What I really mean by is...
Actually, North Phoenix would be Kentucky, right?
Yeah, right. So here's what I mean by that. If you live in Southern California, this is going to sound stupid. Because in Southern California... We've talked about this. You don't go anywhere until you drive 45 minutes. Everywhere is 45 minutes. Doesn't matter where you're going. Go to the grocery store, it's 45 minutes. Here, most places are, 10, 15 minutes. Up in Aliante was all of 13 miles from the Strip. It was 13 miles. But all my friends felt like,
all my friends.
We would like to go visit you, Scott, but we have to go to, Southwest Airlines. We've got to get a plane. Got to figure out what that costs me. Plus, I got to drive. I got to carpool. I got to park my car at the airport
so we can get to South Reno. Have you ever been to the Clark County Gun Range up north?
No.
You feel like you're in Utah. I'm like, can I go any farther north and still be considered in Las Vegas? And there's actually a high school there, Shadow Ridge High School.
Yeah.
My son plays baseball out there, and you drive up to Shadow Ridge, which is off of Decatur, as far north as you can possibly go, just south of St. George. And that's how far north you are. You go through Mesquite, you go through the whole thing, and you're still in Las Vegas. I'm at the Gorge. Have I got the baseball field yet? And you turn, the cool thing is you turn around and you look the opposite direction and you see downtown and the Strip, and you're going, it's so far away.
Yes.
It is a great view up there, but
it's great.
And then you hear the gunshots going up from the Clark County gun range.
You're like, what, East LA?
Yeah.
No, so here's the deal.
Baltimore.
So literally, I'd have like, hey, you guys want to come up? My friends are like, it's very far.
Yeah.
Like,
I got to drive home.
It's a half hour.
Yeah, I got to drive home.
And it's the same thing if you live in Kentucky. You're down in the...
I got a real quick story. So this past weekend, my son goes to prom, Real quick story. Their prom was held downtown at the World Market Center, the furniture place.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Nice building, by the way. Nice building.
The prom ends at like 10:30, 10:45, whatever it was. And they were going to a buddy's house back on the west side of town for an after party.
Right.
And I didn't want to bother him. He's with his girlfriend. And I just want to make sure everything's cool. Because I know
she looks very nice, by the way.
Well, two things. He's driving my car. He's in not the greatest neighborhood in the world. And he's not familiar with where he is and to get around.
Right.
So it took me 10 times to explain to him how to get there. And I'm like, just take 95. Is that the one off of Summerlin Park? Gee, 95 south. Which direction south? I'm like, you're 17.
Oh, my God.
Let's figure this out. North is not up. South is not down. That way is south. That way is north. Anyway,
with a little arrow on your map,
I go, just go to MLK. Get off on Martin Luther King. You'll see the Costco on your right. Make a left on Symphony Park. But so I texted him at like 10:45, and I just said, "Hey, let me know when you get to your buddy's house." That was it. And he gives me an okay.
All right.
That's 10:45. It's now 11:45. Almost 12 o'clock, and I hadn't heard anything back. And I quite frankly, I wanted to go to bed.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure he got there.
Right.
So I sent him another text with a question mark, like, you know,
where are you?
Right. And he responds back with, "Well, we got lost, but we're almost there."
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I'm like, "You got lost?" I go, "Call me when you can." So he gets to where he finally gets there, and he calls me. And he goes, "Yeah, we made a wrong turn." I go, "Well, what did you do?" He goes, "Well, we came out, we made a left on Martin Luther King, and then we got down, and then we made another left instead of making a right, and then I started driving, and we were talking, and he got another couple in the car, and next thing you know, I'm passing up streets called Nellis and Sloan, and I said, I never heard of any of these streets before, Dad. I go, I said, what road were you on? He goes, I was on Sahara. I go, okay, you didn't notice when you drove back through the strip that you noticed the big SLS hotel that you were maybe going the wrong way because you were going across Las Vegas Boulevard. And then when the whole thing, the rest of your trip turned into Spanish, you didn't realize that you might have been going the wrong direction.
Yep.
And then, well, they goes, then somebody put the address into their phone and it said 41 minutes away.
Right. The live chat's going, most phones have a GPS.
Yeah, yeah. They figured that out after they were already there.
God.
I go, well, the good thing is you were right by Las Vegas High School, which is where you have a baseball game next week. So now you know how to get there.
Or just stay there. We'll pick you up next week. All right. So if you want people, now we've moved to a more central location. Hell, everybody wants to talk to us now. We're you know, we've come in from the cold apparently, and we're okay now. All right. Next, do not under any circumstance ride a motorcycle in Las Vegas. Okay, so now I came from arguably one of the best motorcycle riding places in the world. Northern California, the Bay Area, God, just great motorcycle riding places. Santa Cruz Mountain, the beaches, oh, it's awesome. And Californians really respect motorcycles. It's pretty safe. I came to Las Vegas, could not wait to ride here. Are you kidding me? Mount Charleston, the Valley of Fire,
right.
The Strip, heading down to Pahrump. There's all kinds. As a matter of fact, the local rag here, a magazine called The Sunday, did a whole thing about great motorcycle ride things. And I'm like, you must be out of your mind. The first time I got on a bike, I went down to the Strip. I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. Look at me. I'm on my big bag. And I'm like, look at that. It's pretty sexy. So I'm driving around and I'm like, you know, these people are kind of close to me, and I'm in a big bike. I'm in a 1500, you know, Kawasaki Nomad. It's a big bike.
Right.
I'm like, you guys are kind of coming close, and let me know. I'm pulling back in the house. I'm like, yeah, you can back off, man. What are you doing? I'm like, okay, well, I'll be all right. So I get out one more time, go up to Mount Charleston. I'm like, God, what's happening with these people? Back. And then the next time I'm driving around, I get to a stoplight, and I see a motorcycle in front of me, although it was cut in half.
Okay.
Which is not a feature.
No.
And so basically he got T-boned and that baby was in half. And I'm like, okay, that's it. It's just too scary. The worst thing you can do as a motorcycle rider is to ride afraid, to be afraid.
That's a good point.
And the other thing is it's really unfun when you're just doing this on a swivel the whole time.
Right.
You got to be relaxed when you're riding the bike. And I was tense when I was riding the bike. That's a good way to get held. The other problem, of course, is this. It's pretty hot here in the summer, and I believe you have to dress for the fall, as in falling down. And most people don't do that.
You want to get that road rush.
I saw a guy, you know, in a t-shirt and a little helmet kind of thing. And I get the little helmet thing, but he's in a t-shirt. He's a tank top, absolutely. And I'm like, you know, look. This guy falls down, he's not going to be nearly as cool as he think he is right now.
Yeah.
Because he's got years of skin graft. So I get it. It's a lot of fun. But riding a motorcycle here is arguably one of the scariest things I've ever done.
On Sunday, this past week, I was going across from downtown Summerlin, across Charleston, to a shopping mall across the street. I'm at a stoplight.
Yep.
Okay. A group had to be 100 to 150 bikes.
Yep.
Are coming down Charleston out towards Red Rock. Yep. And I'm going to go across. The light turns green for me.
Yep.
Every motorcycle kept going.
Yep.
Like a funeral procession? What is it?
Yep.
They're doing wheelies.
Well,
they're in the crotch rockets.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what makes you think you guys can all go through a stoplight? So I got in the middle of it. I just kept honking.
Yeah.
You know, scared a couple of them. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Like, well, dude, that light's been red for literally, that light was red for 30 seconds. It wasn't fuchsia. It wasn't hot pink. Yeah. It's been red for like, my light's now turning yellow. That's how long it's been that way.
There is a different attitude for motorcycle riders, the people who are riding sports bikes versus cruisers.
Right.
The cruiser guys who tend to be scarier looking.
Well, they're a lot of veterans, a lot of Vietnam guys, a lot of patriot guys.
I hung out with a lot of these guys. And they are really good guys. One guy I remember, I looked at him the first time, I'm like, man, you are a scary looking dude. I ain't talking to you. He was one of the sweetest dude. Yep. You know, he worked at a rehab place. He was helping people recover from drugs and alcohol stuff. A sweetheart.
Yep.
But he looked like he'd cut your throat. But they're all very law-abiding. They're very into, you know, rider safety and all that kind of stuff. I didn't ride with the sports bike guys, so I don't know. I've seen sport bike guys, and they're typically younger, and they think they're going to live forever, and that's not very bright.
Right.
But yeah, that kind of stuff is BS. They really should do that. But don't ride a bike. It's just scary. All right, number two, or number five, or whatever number we're on. Next one, don't work for free. This happens a lot in Las Vegas where people think, okay, I'm going to just do this for free because I'll make a living doing it because they've promised me this. Man, it happens all the time here. Happens a lot in entertainment business for sure, but it happens in other places too. And I see this all the time.
What are we doing here?
No, we're not. here's the deal. First of all, we're getting paid.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, we got sponsors.
Oh, good.
But that's not it.
We?
If this is, no,
you said
I
we.
I told you I'd give you a piece of this.
Woo-hoo! We got a sponsor.
It's like talking to a
wall. When did you tell me we got a sponsor?
I told you I'd give you a percentage.
I know, but you didn't tell me we got Lasik a sponsor.
Lasik of Nevada.
Oh, I thought that was, we love Dr. Rothman.
I don't do anything for free. I don't give away sponsorships.
Okay, good.
If you want to be a sponsor, you got to pay. Oh, that's not true. Well, I gave it to you because
I'm here. My time and effort is worthy of that.
So I'll give you an example.
That's a good trade.
So I have a lot of people who come into the co-op and like, oh, I've got these great plans. I'm going to do this talk show. I'm going to do this kind of thing or that thing. I'm like, that sounds great. It's $219 a month.
Oh my God, that's so expensive.
Cricket.
$219.
What's the problem? Well, you know, my finances, and then I hear all this kind of, you know, hysterical gibberish.
Are you still talking?
You might be supposed to speak in Spanish. Hey, son cuatro semanas, cuatro semanas,
cuatro semanas. Mucho dinero.
Dinero, dinero. I'm like, okay, big fella, I think that's going to be a problem. Right. And it's because they never got paid. They couldn't figure out how to get paid. And the simple answer is this. Look, if you really believe you do good work, you have to figure out the problem you solve. And if you can articulate that, you will get paid.
Right.
That's the bottom line. Don't do it for free. Is there exceptions? Of course there are. A perfect exception is this. If you're doing something for free, but they're putting in a boatload of money to make you do whatever, to put you out there, and you can use that content for yourself, then I think that's fine. And there's a lot of people in broadcasting who do that kind of thing, for example. And we had a couple guys on the Vegas Video Network. They got paid for commercials if they got sponsors. But I got two guys who both got, one guy got a deal on the Strip, one guy got a reality show because he was on the Vegas Video Network, because they were both on the Vegas Video Network.
Cool.
That made sense to them. Plus, they saw that we were working our asses off to put out good products. So that makes sense. But the whole giving stuff away, I'm going to do this calendar for free. I'm going to do this modeling for free. I'm going to be a musician for free. I'm going to play this gig for free. You're an idiot. You're never going to get paid if you keep doing that. Please don't do it. Okay, next one. Don't go to a strip club, period. No, don't go to a strip club thinking you'll be the lucky one, because there is no such thing as a lucky one. If they think that you're neat, it's really not your personality. It's your platinum card. That's what they're going for.
I got lucky once.
By the way, I set this outline.
I got lucky.
Set this outline to Brett, and Brett like writes back in all caps, I got lucky. I got a lucky story. It's a quick one. And as people say in the live chat, when Brett says quick equals fail. They're not quick, but
they're funny.
Brett's got two stories about getting lucky in the strip club.
Well, let me start with the second one because it's actually is getting lucky. So when Jaguars opened up, that was the one at Desert Inn and Valley View. That was the one that Michael Gallardo, whatever, opened up, and he went to jail, part of the big scandal with the politicians a few years back.
Oh, yeah.
Spent like $25 million on Jaguars.
Yeah.
He was one of the former owners of Cheetah. Why do I know this? I don't know. Anyway, so we're doing a radio show. We're doing a radio show on a Friday night or Saturday night. Don't remember the exact day. Mm. Tied around some event. Mm. And we needed to get a phone line. Okay, so I'm in Jaguars. We're setting up the gear. It's actually this time was now owned by Scores. It changed to Scores.
Scores.
Okay, so it was a sports-themed thing.
Show. Whatever. Broadcast.
Yeah, whatever the play is. Adult nightclub.
Let's say. Yeah. Oh, okay. Right.
So the girls are very attractive and they're very nice and they're helping you with stuff. So anyway, this is not me. No.
You're handling this very well.
So I'm trying to set up our broadcast. Yeah. Okay. And I need to get access to a telephone line.
Can I just say one thing? Set up a broadcast is an analogy for something completely different.
It's not. All right. And the only phone line they could find for me was the phone line that was tied into the ATM machine. Okay, so I'm thinking, all right, for the next hour, I'm going to unplug the ATM machine. Right. I'm going to plug my phone line into the ATM machine.
So you can broadcast back to the...
So we can broadcast and just let them know, hey, the ATM machine's out of service for an hour. The manager was cool with that. So as I'm moving the ATM machine,
right,
I put my hand in the spot where the money comes out.
Right.
And there's money there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Really?
So I pull it out.
How much was it?
It's $1,000.
What?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Well, I'm there for an hour and a half. I'm setting up... I sat there.
You got $1,001 bills.
No, I got $1,000. I got $1,000 in 20s and 50s and 100.
Well, you had to break it.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there with all this money in my hand. Right. And I'm thinking, well, certainly the guy or whoever is going to come back.
All right.
My intentions were pure.
Sure.
To say, I'm gonna be here for an hour and a half.
That's nice.
I'm thinking the person's going to come back.
Yeah.
They never did.
So what did you do with the money?
It's stuck in my pocket. So yeah, I said, thank you very much. Because I wasn't getting paid prior to that.
So I got myself paid.
It's
like my advice.
The other story was, this is when I was first in Las Vegas. We're working Monday night football party at Club Paradise, across the street from the Hard Rock, every Monday night. So I was the guy doing the game. So my kids were 4 and 2 years old. So on Monday nights at 4 o'clock, I would go and set up the broadcast and we'd be doing Monday night football parties. And they had a setup next to the girls where the girls would get dressed in their changing room, their dressing room.
Yeah.
You know, you spend too much time in a strip club when you walk in on a Monday and the girls go, hey, Brett, how you doing? Good to see you. Wow. Have I been here this much? And I swear I was only there to broadcast. Now, the cool thing about this was they paid us to be there.
Right.
And they gave us trade, like $300 a week in trade. The trade was to be used for alcohol
or
cigars,
and
just could not be used on the girls.
Fair enough.
Okay. Now it was myself and another guy, and we got $300 a week. I couldn't drink $300 worth of alcohol. I didn't want to drink $300 worth of alcohol at $5 beers. That's a lot of beer or
first of all,
shots.
It's only $5 beers at a strip club.
Well, it was a Monday night party. It was a Monday night party, and this is also in 1997, 98.
All right, okay.
So what we would do is when people come to town, I'd take like 8 people, let's go to Club Paradise. I'd take my hockey team over there. Guys, I got like $1,200 in trade rolling over every week. Let's go drink.
You're like the badass.
Oh, yeah. Brett's got us hooked up. We're drinking.
It's King Brett.
Yeah.
Hey, and then Rosemary, give me a good stripper name.
Porsche. Mercedes.
Porsche goes, hi, Brett.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's hilarious. You get to be immune to it because... You're there, and they're walking around naked right in front of you, and they're talking. Brett, you need a Jello shot? And they just keep walking around, going, "Man, I've only been here for 17 weeks. It's like I've been here for like 40 years." So, anyway, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I'm sure Kathy thought that was hysterical.
No, she knew about it.
Great story. All right. Next one. Here's what you shouldn't do when you move to Las Vegas. You shouldn't expect to earn a 6-figure income as a valet. So here's the truth, kids. It used to be. Way back in, let's say, the 2005 time frame, where you could actually make 6 figures as a valet. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons why the high school graduation rate here in Las Vegas is so bad is because you have so many parents who didn't go to high school, but are making $6 figure because they're valets and they're doing whatever else. So, Johnny's going... I don't really feel super motivated to graduate high school. I can do six figures and just park cars. Yeah.
There's a reason why we ranked 49th in education.
Yeah. And so here's the deal. Yeah, we're horrible, like 50%, 60%. Actually, our high school graduation rate went up to...
everybody's, it's about 60%.
Well, it's like, I think it got to 70 just this year. Oh. And everybody's super proud, and I'm like, you realize that one in four people aren't graduating high school. That's pretty crappy.
Right.
Oh, no, it's a big deal. Yeah, way to go. So that whole valet parking thing, yeah, you could used to do it. But here's the other part about that people forget to talk. For you to be a six-figure valet, you weren't working at Binion's. You're working at Bellagio. You're working at Wynn, Encore, these high-end places. But do you think you just come in out of the blue and become a valet parker at those places? No, that's not how it works at all. You start off at Joe's little crap shack and casino place, Dolly's.
Right.
And that's where you start. And maybe 5-10 years from now, you can be a valet.
Well, when I first came to town, when I found out my wife was pregnant with twins, I was working at the radio station. We're starting the radio station, basically. We weren't making a whole lot of money. So I decided I had to learn how to deal craps.
Right.
So I went to crap school and then learned how to deal craps.
I'm not kidding.
And you don't go get a job at the Mirage.
Right.
I was at the Golden Gate.
Yes, yes.
And I went there on a Friday night.
Perfect.
And then you
example.
Go over to the Western Hotel.
Yes, yes.
The Westward. Yeah, the Western.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're
Westward
like,
Ho.
No, it was just the Western, not the Westward. The Westward Ho would be much better than the Western.
Right.
And I'm down there on Fremont Street, and literally the people are playing quarter craps.
Yeah.
And the math, you're going, okay, oh my God, and you got to figure out the math.
Right, right.
It's all the thing is, okay, 3-2, it's all just math.
Right, right.
And you just got to know the percentages, and it's not worried about, okay, it's not, oh, $10 pays $6, it's just three chips.
Right.
And you just keep moving around, boom, boom, whatever they're doing. And then you throw quarters, and you're going, oh my gosh, you get 17, what do we have there? Yeah, it was crazy. And then I did it. The guy goes, well, you're a little slow. I go, yeah, I know I'm slow. It's the first time I ever did it. You got 30 guys around the table, and they're all throwing dollars, you know, and they're all drunk. And by the way, they smell like urine. Other than that,
I got to say, these are playing with quarters.
Exactly.
You know, when I was in crap school, which is a fabulous, that's what they call the high schools here, by the way, crap school.
Crap school.
But when I was at crap school, they were like, dollar. Well, I can divide a dollar by a third or a half, but you divide a quarter by a half. Good luck.
Exactly. You've got a 12.50 cent chip over here? What am I giving the guy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Some of those would actually have the money there. You'd actually have a dime and a quarter. We don't have a chip for a 25 cent chip, so here's a quarter. It was crazy.
So don't come here thinking you're going to get rich being a gopher, which is kind of what those jobs are. It just doesn't play out anymore. Okay, next one, drive drunk. Now, this is obviously a thing to say, don't do it, but here's why I'm bringing that up. Yeah, you shouldn't drive drunk anywhere. Yeah, no kidding. It's really easy to drive drunk here. It's super easy to drive drunk here. Why? Because nothing closes here. And that's not just on the strip, by the way. There's a lot of places.
Let me have a drink.
In the casinos. That's what it looks like when you're a drunk driver. I've always wanted to do that.
Thank you.
No, so here's the deal. Yes, on the strip, it's open all the time. But the other thing is, a lot of the little bars and restaurants and little baby casinos here, the local guys, are open 24 hours a day, seven days a week as well. Red Rock, for example, they never shut down. So it's super easy to go, I'll have a nightcap or five, and then you're driving drunk. Look, that's why we need to have Uber, I might add. Or you can do what Ted does in the live chat. Ted has a Ziggy, and everybody should have a Ziggy.
A driver.
Yeah, Ziggy basically drives Ted around.
He plays guitar as well.
Yeah, he plays guitar for Zoe Bowie, Bowie, somebody.
Good idea.
And so that's, just don't do it, because we need as many viewers and listeners as possible. And if you're consuming this content, we don't want you to die. Or get arrested for that matter.
All right.
Okay, next one. Don't never not visit the strip. That's a double negative.
That
I understand.
In other
words, go visit the strip.
Oh, yeah.
So many locals don't want to go to the strip because it's a pain in the ass. And
it's not as much as it used to be. I will give them that, because the back roads, the Dean Martins and the Frank Sinatra drives and Harmon and those kind of places that get you places, it makes it a lot easier to get around. And you can be on the strip and never drive on the strip. And that's the key.
And that's it.
If you know what you're doing, you can do it and never have to drive on the strip.
The Super Scott shortcut, when you go over DI and you make that little whatever, that whoopie-doopie-doopie thing, you never have to touch the strip. You're back on the back. You're at the Mirage. You're at TI. You're doing a fashion show. You're right there. You can valet park at fashion show. Great valet parking right by Capitol Grill, by the way. It's free, for the love of God. $5 tip or whatever, but you're right there. You're right across the street from Encore. And you're missing out on great food and great entertainment, and it's just a great place. So many people.
And you don't want to drive on the strip anyway, because you're likely to hit a 21-year-old drunken blonde from Southern California who's, hey, I got a beer this big and I'm gonna be woo.
Well, if you're a tourist, you have to drive the strip. The first time you move here.
10 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody on the strip.
Yeah, drive the strip the first time. Yeah. So you can go, oh, look, they completely screwed up TI. Oh, look, they completely screwed up Bally's. Oh, look, they could put. Yeah, you'll go through that and you'll feel a little sad and you're like, oh, look, they're about ready to blow
the
up
the Riviera.
Riviera.
Hey, there's a White Castle.
Oh, look, there's a White Castle. Yeah. Okay, so do that one time and then never shall you cross the strip. Only shall you park if you're on the west side. If you're on the east side. We don't really talk to you that much.
Yeah.
That's not true. There's a lot of parking on the east side. Oh, I'll tell you where. Great parking. Link Valet.
Yeah, Valet Link, yeah. That's a good spot.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, the the Link Hotel also has easy valet parking.
I think,
parking.
Yeah, the Palazzo, I'm not a big, I do valet at most places, but I go to the Palazzo all the time. Their garage that enters off of Twain, basically Spring Mountain turns into Twain right there.
Yep.
That garage, easy in and out. Yep. I've never had any problem. I do it every week, and it's a great
Is
garage.
Is that one of those places that has the light bulbs to tell you how many people or how many openings there are on every level?
No, I never noticed that.
Encore does that.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, God, the Encore.
And so does Cosmo. Cosmopolitan actually has a light at every single parking spot.
Really?
So it's red if it's filled. So you can see from far away, oh, there's a green light. I can go ahead and park there. It's pretty neat. All right.
I'm going to beat Grandma to that spot.
And finally, our last hint. Do not fail to recognize that this is actually a small town dressed in a big city dress. What I mean by that is this.
Right.
There's 2 million people here living in the Las Vegas. 2 million plus. There's a lot of folks here.
In the Las Vegas.
Don't hassle my article, baby. Don't harsh my article. Okay, don't harsh my vibe. 2 million people. So you might think, well, this is like a big city thing. Well, it looks like it. From the air, it does. But this is the smallest big city you're ever going to find. And it really is kind of a who you know. So I will tell you from personal experience that if you're like me and you like to tell people to go blow themselves, that sometimes is a problem. So I have burned a few bridges because I just didn't want to deal with people.
Right.
But here's the real thing. Be like Brett. Be nice to everybody.
If I could be like Brett.
Yeah, be nice to everybody because, in fact, there might be 2 million people here, but it's probably about 100,000 people here. Not even that. Maybe 10,000 people here who actually can make stuff happen. Now, arguably, Brett and I are part of that 100,000. I couldn't even do
we
that.
Can make it. You couldn't
with even straight face.
Couldn't stop laughing.
Couldn't even stop laughing. Okay. Right.
But now, I know somebody who could probably make it happen.
Yeah, part of makes
that helps.
Part of what makes you strong, by the way, is wearing the same shirt. Okay. So look, but just realize that it's kind of who you know. So that whole, getting out and networking, it's muy importado here in the Las Vegas. Okay.
It is, no doubt.
That's it. Did I miss anything, Brett?
I don't think so. No, I think we got them all.
Was it amazing?
It was amazing. And we're at almost 1 hour, so way to go. A little bit longer than 30 minutes.
Are you kidding me? God, yeah. You were supposed to keep track.
Really, we're having fun.
Oh,
I was keeping track. I just didn't stop you when we got the.
Didn't
like,
even think, hey, Scott, maybe well, we're at
30 minutes was like living in South Reno. Okay, so
really?
It's like, yeah.
Well, okay, I wish you'd stop being so chatty.
All right.
Well, this is the Living in Las Vegas podcast. We're on the Vegas Video Network.
We're okay because we're skipping that next section anyway. So we'll just move on to the next one.
What next section?
We're going right to
Potpourri.
Oh, is that okay? Well, you didn't change it. Oh, I see what you did.
I took out that thing there.
Okay.
But we're going to do Potpourri.
All right, let's get to it.
We're not letting down our people. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network.
Few things are as precious as your eyes. They capture a world in motion and a lifetime of moments. Choosing the right doctor for LASIK means understanding there really is a difference. Dr. Richard Rothman and LASIK of Nevada believe that safety, affordability, and the latest technology are important. Call today and get 50% off premium LASIK and $99 a month guaranteed financing. Helping people achieve their best vision on a personal level is the difference at LASIK of Nevada. Call or click 800-NEW-VISION for premium LASIK at the best price.
Okay, we're back. Thanks always to LASIK of Nevada. They are longtime sponsors of the Living in Las Vegas podcast and also of Vegas Video Network. They're good people. Do you wear glasses?
Just to see. Honestly, no. These are just cheaters.
That was just me being very observant. Yep. You wear glasses? What are those things in front of your face?
Well, I don't wear them because...
Well, you wear them so you can read.
But I did go and get my eyes checked, and the guy goes, "Nah, you're fine."
That's okay. Right. Okay, here we go.
I'm fine.
Last week we did the potpourri for $800, where we let the live chat decide what we spoke about. Arguably one of the most enjoyable shows for Brett and me. We had a good time.
Good time, yeah.
We had a lot of fun. The live chat, we know a lot of live chats. Hell, I've dined with many live chats. The best live chat in the world, it's the Vegas Video Network live chat, and more importantly, of course, Living in Las Vegas. So we asked the live chat in all caps to give us their questions. If you have a question you want us to answer, again, no topic is off limits, no question unanswered, more or less. That, of course, is a promise, not a guarantee, because I don't want you to sue me. So here we go. Number one. Don't laugh. It's a litigious world. My dad's a lawyer. My daughter's a lawyer. They got to be careful. All right. Question number one, ready?
Ready.
When and how much do you tip a blackjack dealer? This is from Steve I.
Well, there's a couple ways to do it. Number one, if you're playing and you are doing well and you want to continue playing, what I suggest you do is you play hands for the dealer also. So let's say you're betting a simple amount of $10 a hand. Bet also $10 a hand for the dealer. And then if you win the next hand, the dealer wins not just the $10 tip, the dealer actually wins $20.
Right.
And you win your $20, and you only paid $10, the dealer got a $20 tip. Or at the end, when you're done and doing well, backtrack. If you're doing well and the dealers change, you should hit the dealer on her way or his way out because they're going to a different table. You should definitely, as you're continuing to play.
Yep.
And the other thing, and what happens a lot of times, especially in blackjack, if the dealers change and you suddenly get cold, move tables. Oh. Get up and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because there is mojo and there is momentum and there is the all the superstitions around that, you know what? It is true. It's true. I believe in that kind of stuff. So if you're hot, you tip the dealer as you're going along. If you're playing $10 a hand and you're winning and you're winning and you're winning, give them $10. Give them every time you win $50, $60, give them $10.
What if you're losing your ass?
If you're losing your ass, then you don't have to give them anything. You don't have to give them anything. No. You're losing your butt. You just say, "Thank you very much for kicking my ass. I'll see you later." And that's what you say. That's the way it goes.
Okay. Next question is from Airport Limbo. He says, "What's the one thing that you'd bring to Vegas from another city?"
Not a snow shovel. If I'm moving, I actually brought one.
No, no. My God.
I shoveled sand.
Is there something in Las Vegas that you wish was here? For instance, I would think you'd say a professional sports team.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure where we were going with that. It was a little more.
Trying to help you out.
I would love to have professional sports.
Okay.
A little more culture. I mean, we're talking about the history. There is no history in Las Vegas. We blow it up and then we look at pictures of it. We can't actually touchy feely going, "Look at this beautiful mud hut built in the 1820s because they don't exist anymore. They do in every other place in the world.
Unless her name's Mercedes and you can test that.
Her mud hut.
She's been around for a long time and her mud hut.
Okay, the only thing left is her silicone. Everything else is set.
You'd bring a professional sports team.
I think we might be getting one. We'll find out later this year if a hockey team is coming.
If you could pick a sports team and it wasn't hockey, what would it be?
Well, I honestly believe that almost any of the major sports would succeed in town for a couple of reasons. Everybody points to the other sports teams. Look at all the teams we've had that haven't succeeded. Number one, they've all been minor league teams or fringe new leagues like the XFL, and the leagues failed.
Yeah.
The only one that really that is around still is the Arena Football League, and we've had now three Arena Football League teams.
Right.
So those have not existed, but Arena Football is a rather weird kind of sport.
Right.
I think Major League Soccer would work. I think Major League Baseball would work. I think football would work. I think hockey would work. I think basketball would work. I think all of them would. The biggest thing about hockey, for me, is number one, Las Vegas does already get a ton of Canadian tourists in the wintertime.
Yep.
We get tons of winter tourists from the Northeast, from the New York, as you would say, Pittsburgh, Philly,
right.
Buffalo, Chicago, Detroit. Those people are coming to Vegas in January and February anyway because they're sick of shoveling snow.
Right.
Now they're just going to plan their trips around their teams coming.
Right.
So suddenly all these people coming from Alberta go, you know, the Canadian, the Oilers are playing on February the 12th.
Let's go check them out.
Let's go check them out. We'll just plan our trip to go that weekend.
Right.
And, you know, some guy from Boston, hey, yo, the Bruins are playing in Vegas on March 21st.
Let's get our big thing and go.
We're going to make a long weekend in Vegas and surround it around a Bruins weekend.
I get it, man.
I think in the summer, the same kind of thing.
All right. You know. What would I bring here? More professionalism.
Okay.
From the people. The people here aren't as professional as I would like from the B. All right.
Well, that's, to me, it's more of a West Coast thing.
I know East Coast people who are professional.
No, I think it's more of a West Coast thing is not as professional.
No.
I think it's.
I was as West Coast as you could be and not be swimming to Hawaii. Those people were very professional. Okay. Bay Area. Muy professional, por favor. Well,
but that's North Bay Area is Northern California.
I was in Southern California,
too. Southern California is not as professional.
What the hell or not?
Well, more so than we are. I agree with that.
That's what I'm trying to say. More so than I have never been in a place in America, that's been less professional as a whole, the people, adults that I'm talking to, than Las Vegas. All right.
I can't argue with that.
And then also, Airport Limbo wants to know if you could vote one thing off the island, if you could remove one thing from Vegas, what would it be?
Harry Reid. That was easy.
And I would remove those unprofessional bastards. I just want them out.
That's seriously, that's an interesting question. What would I remove?
Harry Reid's pretty funny. I think you should probably just leave it.
Stick with Harry Reid.
You should just it's a mic drop. Harry Reid. All right, next question is from, that's good. Traffic. You know what I would add? Probably better, what's that thing called? Where you have buses, not buses, but.
Mass transit?
Yeah.
Public transportation?
Yeah, it's probably be better. That could be better.
Well,
go ahead. If for tourists, I would say take the metro or the metro. Jesus, what's that thing called?
The lengthy thing. I don't know.
What's that thing called?
I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I forgot about it. What's it called, guys?
Train, light rail. Take the light rail down to the airport.
No, but what's it really called, though?
I don't know what it's called. Monorail.
The monorail. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Phew.
Right. The monorail that doesn't go to the airport or downtown.
Right.
That thing.
Oh, that's good.
You know what it should do?
What
the monorail,
bring here?
The monorail
bring
should go,
and light here.
The monorail should go right down the middle of Las Vegas Boulevard with stops at every major street.
That'd be pretty cool.
And you say, okay, here we are at Tropicana. Now you funnel in those four hotels.
That'd be awesome.
Here we are at Flamingo.
That'd be awesome.
That's what it should be doing.
Yeah, it's on the back side of the east side. It's pretty
I understand
hardy.
You don't want to be able to.
It's a pain in the ass. But if you brought it to the airport, it'd be huge. And I agree. If you put it in the middle, I'd be awesome. Okay, next one. This is from Airport Limbo, which pretty much took over the entire live chat. If you had to choose, what would you do? A staycation or a road trip to either California, Utah, or Arizona?
Well, they're all cool. You'd probably have done more staycations than I have done.
I have.
But I think there's a lot of cool things. You know, one of the things that my wife and I have tried to do when we do decide to leave Las Vegas and take a trip.
Yep.
We try to go to major cities that we haven't been to before. So we're going to go to San Francisco, we're going to go to San Diego, we're going to go to LA, we're going to go to Portland, we're going to go to Seattle, going to go to Denver, wherever, because they're all close. They're an hour and a half plane flight away, 2 hours max, and it's close. You know, if you're in the Midwest, you do the same kind of stuff.
Yep.
So to me, I would take the weekend getaway out of town.
And where would you go?
Well, my first choice has always been, we love going to San Francisco just for the food.
So
not for the politics.
I would take a staycation because we used to come here on staycations, and now I live here. So instead of getting on the big silver bird and flying here, I get on the little brown car and drive there. And we haven't even
been to
half.
What's your favorite place? Oh, you go to a different place every time?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I like that idea.
Part of the fun here is there's no way we're going to be able to get. So we'll do a hotel tonight or do whatever. And I've been, What do I like?
Well, it's a great excuse for somebody who enjoys his libations not to have to drink and drive. You go down and you have a good time and then you say, hey, honey, we're going to roll into the Cosmo tonight.
But we never get pounded while we're there. We're just kind of hanging out. I really like live music.
Right.
I really like to support, you know, the little bands at Paris. A little jazz ensemble. I mean, I really dig that stuff. So we've had good times at Encore and Wynn. We've had good times at the Venetian. We've had good times at Caesars. We've had good times at Mirage. Right, right. All those places. We haven't stayed at some places like we haven't stayed at the Trop. I've had a great time at MGM Grand. It's a great location. So I love that. When we do travel, I like San Diego.
It's a beautiful place.
Beautiful place. Yep, yep, yep. You know, right by Mexico, so I can, you know, speak my language.
You want to go to Tijuana on purpose?
I used to go to Tijuana all the time.
You know what the definition of courage is?
I love Tijuana.
You go to Tijuana and you eat from a food vendor on the street.
That is
the definition of courage.
It's the taco. It's a taco vendor, right? Would you like a fish taco? And I would like to have a little pot.
You're like, I'm not so sure about this.
I'm going to have to poop in it a little bit.
Your wife is on chatting. She's giving us grief about our matching shirts.
That's right. Wait, did you want to go to Tijuana? Yes. Where might I find the toilet?
Yes.
Ah, very good. I'm so happy that you
Thank
have
you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're a bad man, Jerry. You're a very, very bad man.
I used to go to Tijuana all the time as a vacation thing.
It's a lot different now. We went down to
it's not a good place anymore.
South of Tucson, was it Nogales? And we went across the border there with the family.
Right.
And we walked across the border control, across the border.
Right.
Walked around the block and immediately came right back out the other side and said, no thanks, we'll keep
really?
Going. I go, I'm not having my family around here. Let's go.
God, it used to be so much fun.
Yeah.
God, it used to be so much fun.
I really don't like Mexico at all because of that. We went on a vacation. We went on a vacation and I just
Mexican people
hated it. I just didn't like it. It was just,
where'd you go?
We went to Puerto Vallarta and I just didn't like it.
See, we went to Cancun.
I guess what I didn't like.
It.
Well, if you're in the resort area, great.
Well, yeah, but
okay. But if you want to go out, I'm a golfer, so I wanted to go somewhere and play golf.
Yeah.
And I went to a golf course and we stayed in Nueva Vallarta, and first of all, the ocean was like hotter than your pool.
Yeah.
It wasn't refreshing at all.
Right.
And then you're driving through these slums and these horrible areas, and you come to this golf course, you're thinking, the plight is not.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy it.
Okay. Next one, best Mexican restaurant / margaritas in Vegas. I've got the perfect answer, but if you want to go first, you may.
I would probably say, first of all, I'm not a big fan of Mexican food, so I'll let you go ahead. We should have got that from the last subject.
Yeah. You know, the whole Mexico thing. If they just took that continent and just cut it off and floated away.
But for my wife, who does love Mexican food and who's a Spanish teacher, she takes her kids on a field trip every year, and they go to a Mexican restaurant to watch them make the tamales, watch them make the
tortillas,
all that stuff. Chips. And they go to Don. Oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind now.
Dona
Maria's. Is it Dona Maria's?
Where?
There's one at Tenaya and Cheyenne, and there's another one on the Strip. Isn't that what it's called?
I don't know.
Oh boy.
All right,
I'm gonna look it up.
Best Mexican restaurant, Javier's at the Aria. Best margaritas.
You can't say it on the strip. You got to go local.
I feel like I just did. Yes, I can. And the best margaritas, Javier's at Aria. The most amazing margaritas.
That's good.
It's good. Now there's
it's Dona Maria tamales.
Okay, there's also
on Las Vegas.
There's like three or so Bomita, Canana, Lanchaca. There's three or four of them here. They're good. But I'm telling you, my measurement of a great Mexican restaurant is tacos.
Okay.
Simple. I'll have three tacos and your beans and your rice. And I will decide whether you are a good Mexican restaurant or not. And I know these things. Like, we go to El Segundo Sol a lot, which is a little Mexican restaurant.
Mesa Grill is more Southwestern cuisine.
That's right.
Jackpot than it is.
That's right.
It's more Southwestern.
So let me finish my damn story.
Okay, go ahead.
So, you know, I've done a lot of these. I've done a lot of taco places. I'm telling you what, they're just, that's the tick. And I'm telling you, this Javier's place, holy camoles, amazing tacos. And I'm a taco guy. And margaritas, they have this spicy jalapeno margarita. It is, as the kids say, to die for.
Yeah, you got to go pure authentic. You got to get in town. First of all, San Diego's got fantastic Mexican food if you like Mexican food. Go to Old Town and do that. But I think you got to go more local. See, like Dona Maria's, which is the one I was talking about, has two locations. They're very good. The Linda Mochoacan's is excellent.
Those are pretty good.
Yeah.
But the tacos are plain. That's my point.
But tacos is Americanized Mexican food. You got if you want to go, you get some mole. You get some Mexican food.
Stand by. I'm just going ahead. I'm going to do what.
By the way, I don't like Mexican food.
I should have instant replay because you're like I don't like Mexican.
I don't. But I'm telling you, my wife does. I'm telling you which places she likes to go to.
All right, we're bringing her on the show next time. Yeah, okay. And Melissa asked me, what about that taco place right by my old studio? So I used to work on Convention Center Drive, and there's a El Taco Gordo.
You took me there.
Yeah.
That was good. Very was popular place.
Super popular. Yeah. They expanded.
Convention Center Drive in Las Vegas Boulevard.
I
would El Taco's Gordo.
That's it. I would give it a solid B.
Yeah.
Maybe
very
a
popular,
C.
Though. Yeah.
They got the little baby tacos. Right. Like,
well, but it's
like,
a local spot as yes. opposed to some you're throwing out the Aria.
Don't just because it's in a
okay,
big
okay if I'm gonna
hotel.
Do that then you should go to Border Grill. They've got great it's the
but
two,
is that, but that's
the
not
two
a,
hot tamales. They're at Mandalay Bay and they're also at Caesar's
Palace.
That's not
pure you actually that's called Mexican. It you called it Southwest.
No, at Border Grill. I'm not talking about Mesa Grill. Mesa Grill is a Bobby Flay restaurant at Caesar's Palace. Right. Border Grill also at Caesar's Palace and at Mandalay Bay.
I'm just telling you that.
You'll like their margaritas.
I'm not going to like them as much as Javier.
You'll like margaritas.
You. Okay, next one. This is from this is from Steve I. When is the best time to, what's the best month to visit Las Vegas? Brett?
Best month, I would say April or October, because the weather's usually perfect. A little breezy in April. October's almost perfect all year round.
Yep.
I would say if I had to choose, I'm going to say October.
It depends on what you're... So we're going to guess that this is a weather-based question.
I'm assuming that.
Right. So my take is, if it's weather-based, that means you want to go swimming. You want to go in one of the big pools. I would say it's May, June.
But you're assuming you want to hang out at the pool. Okay, I came to Las Vegas about 30 times as a tourist. I didn't ever went to the pools.
Okay.
Had no desire to go to the pools. I came here to gamble.
If you're going
to
be angry at me all the time.
I'm not angry.
We're simply not going to wear the same shirt anymore. I had to call
I thought it was
wife.
Team uniform day.
I called, hey, Kathy, what's he wearing? Maroon? Really? Maroon? Red? Who wear? Okay, I'll wear it all.
I got one of those in my closet.
I'll be a team player. Right, I had to go week. Have it made. I made it made. I had right. it made.
What are we
right.
wearing next week?
Now, I'm not talking to you anymore because you're being all mean and angry and stuff. I'm telling you, if you want to go
I'm
swimming, it's May, June. If you want to walk on the strip, it's not August because you'll die.
Unless you're German. The German tourists are always here in July and August.
Do you know why?
I love the heat.
But do you know why? So that's actually
well, it's very inexpensive to come here.
It's a European right? thing.
Oh yeah.
So they're very cheap.
Cheap bastards.
Not all Europeans, just the ones who come to Vegas right. are very cheap. All right. Next question. We did that one. Stand by. This next question is from so our last question. I don't see any more. Great. Last question from Jackie. She wants to know, why are we wearing matching shirts?
Because this is our new team uniform, Jackie. That's why.
Why are we wearing matching shirts? Because we're awesome.
It's called a coinkadink.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. It was an accident.
Man, it's those kind of questions that makes me want to have a drink.
Yeah, let's do it.
Have a drink on me. Have a drink on me. All right. This is the part that we call Have a Drink on Me. Why do we call it that? I don't know. I just really like that song. That's not true. This is the part of the show where I'm going to show you a bar. It's a picture of a bar.
Yeah.
And if you can guess the name of the bar, you're going to send an email. Where do you send that email to?
You send it to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com.
What do they win if they win?
They win
well,
a fabulous...
They can win.
They can win one of these.
You can win a lovely Vegas Video Network visor. Does anybody have one of those things? Oh, are you kidding me? Come on. Some of the handsomest guys in the whole world do. Or maybe you're a musical person. You can win... Stand by... You can win, oh, wait, I see what you're doing. You can win any one of the Scott Whitney CDs, Gajazzathon, Chris McAcoustic, or Chris McAcoustic 2. Or the grand prize, if you're that kind of guy,
a is date
a
with
drink
Scott's
on
wife.
Me. That's
oh,
right.
No.
Oh, don't push me, man. That's why she quit the show because we tried to do that once.
Oh,
I got
I didn't know that.
No,
I'm sorry.
Or you can have a drink on me. And by the way, the last winner, asked for a drink on me.
They did.
It's a tourist. He's flying in June, and he wants to have a drink on me. How cool. Great is that? So, okay, that's what you can win if you're a winner of Have a Drink on Me. Okay, let's take a look at last week's.
Ted, actually finish your thing. It comes in any color you want, as long as that color is black.
Right.
That's, of course, Henry Ford's line for the Model T.
And the best part is
we've had
some back orders of the Vegas Video Network embroidered, by the way. We're not screwing around with this.
Yeah.
And we just got a big shipment, actually down over there,
of
visors.
Oh, visors. Did you get different colors?
Really? Is this how this is going to be? Huh?
I think
you're just going to give me crap the whole
thing. Here's the thing. I play a lot of golf. I'm not a big...
You're kind of a mean beer drinker,
I'm hardly... Anyway.
You've had two beers.
I've had two.
Yeah, and you're kind of mean.
I think I'm mean in general. You're telling me I'm nice.
Can't argue with that, okay. Really. What are you going to do with the hat?
I'm just going to show you. Okay, see, look. If you put the visor on...
You can rephrase... Oh, there you go.
All right, let me put the visor on here for a second. Okay. So here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I play a lot of golf.
Yep.
I can be advertising for the Vegas Video Network. I could wear the black one, a little tight, by the way, right now.
Well, you can.
I know. I would mess it for you. I can wear the red one. I can wear the blue one. I could wear the maroon. Wouldn't the maroon one look terrific right now? I mean, it would just look. I'd look all Ricky Fowler-esque.
Give me this back.
With that, yes.
First of all, the trick when you're wearing this visor
is
that you have to. Oh my God.
Well, I told you it was a little tight.
What peanut head was that for? I have actually an unusually large melon. You have to get the hair to fluff.
Exactly. You know you can buy the hats with the fake hair.
Yeah, I don't need to, though. See, look at that.
That's
that fluff
good.
There.
That's, people might think that's a fake fluff.
Yeah, I think.
Look at that fake fluff. They're going to pull that hat out and you're going to say, hey, we do that. You're pulling my hair.
Don't call me that, Rosemary or Mercedes or whatever that name was that we were using.
You are a fluffer.
Here we go. So let's look at last week's Have a Drink on Me. There it is. This was a tough one, folks. For a while, man, we got nothing. We had, you know, one or two Z's, and people were like, wow, this is really hard, and I don't understand it, and I don't get it. And just today, we got four last-minute entries. And the clue we gave for this was the name was, like, kind of fiery. The location, the casino that it's in, could be in a different country. And if you're a rewards person, which means if you're a Caesar's Palace person, this is not the place to go. The answer is... Go ahead.
Ignite.
At
Monte Carlo.
At Monte Carlo, that's right.
Ignite.
So Ignite at Monte Carlo, that's the name of the place. See, look at that.
Awesome. It's a ooh, fire.
I'll be aware all week with that kind of awesome.
Wow.
All right, so it was Ignite. We got, let's see how many. We got 12 entries, 11 of which were correct. First, we will put in the people who gave us no comments whatsoever. Those two go in.
Oh, only two people.
And then the rest were all about comments.
Jackie, you've got no chance of winning, I'm just saying.
Jackie didn't want to make a comment because she's just too damn powerful. And the rest had some comments, some of which were I had to print out because they were so long. Okay, first one, stand by. This is...
Stand by for broadcast.
Stand by. We got Stuart P., who Stuart wants to know, flaming cocktails, is it hard to drink that with facial hair? No. He also wrote some other things that were completely inappropriate that I will not read on there.
Oh, well, let me read them.
No, they're not on there. No, hell no, I can do that. Okay. Lloyd Verdu, who basically writes, I am the cheater's husband.
Right? I know what he's talking about.
Right, because his wife is also on here.
And she said, I'm the husband's cheating wife.
I think she did a long one. Yeah, she's got a long one. Then we've got Monica Fagan. She has some ideas for Brett nicknames.
Ooh.
She said, the stud man.
Thank you very much. What's your first? Is that Monica you said?
Yeah.
Please send private photos on Twitter, please.
Or the Desert Slayer.
The Desert Slayer.
What the hell does that mean?
I like that.
Okay. It's
like, my day started today by drinking banana-flavored barium. That was my start of my day today. These beers are much better, by the way.
Steve,
I have had
a barium enema.
Yeah.
I've had it. I had to drink it. I had a pain in the appendix area for 3 years, but I had my appendix out.
Okay.
And so I had to do
so
all that stuff.
It was
stuff.
A kidney or what?
No, it was? It was stress. I was working with people who I didn't like.
Oh, is it back now? Is it still there?
You Yes.
I figured it would be.
All right. Steve I says, hey, I tried your hangover cure. I have the most amazing hangover cure, 100% guaranteed. Here's what you eat. You eat a McDonald's. Basically, it's a Happy Meal. It's a cheeseburger, small fries, and a full octane Coke, and that'll cure your hangover. Now, he said, I added rum to it. which is hair of the dog. Nothing wrong with that. And then we've got Eric Hansen. Eric says, you know, I expect that if I win that airfare is included. Eric, you're an idiot. We can't have that. Come on, Eric. My God. What do you think you're doing?
I do know an Eric Hansen who lives in Dallas, in Texas, who was a Las Vegas guy, a good friend of mine. I don't think it's the same Eric Hansen. I don't know, but maybe.
Well, if it is, please tell him to stop being a good
I would make a request for people who do this. Please put your city down. I'd like to know where people are coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
So please put your city down.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's a good
idea. I
want
to know where you're from. Where you're from.
That's very good.
Then we can tell bad stories about your city.
Now, here's what I like. This guy's got the gal or guy. It's got to be a guy. His name is Shadow Tay.
How about Shantae? Could it be a woman?
No. It's Shadow. Remember Shadow Stevens?
Oh, yeah.
He was a voiceover guy.
The Shadow.
Hi. Yeah. What's your name? I'm Shadow Tay.
Jackie wants to have a drink on me. Not with me, but on me.
Oh, she wants to do body shots.
Is that what you're trying to say, Jackie? Is that what you're saying?
Jackie wants to do body shots. God bless her little heart. Okay. And he says... Shadow says, love the show, totally addicted, and enjoy every topic.
Wow. So far, we're batting 1,000.
So
we're Hall of Famers.
We
don't strike out.
We're not biased, but I kind of hope Shadow wins because that was a nice thing to say. And then we've got some longer ones. First, we've got Don Verdow, who has won before. And here's what Don has to say.
Don?
Don, D-A-W-N.
Dawn.
Yeah, Dawn.
Are we doing listener email now?
No, this is part of the Have a Drink on Me. People are adding really great lines, and I had to print them out because I'm, you know, mentally slow. She writes, so, hey, I don't have anything funny to say, because remember I said, say something funny and we'll read it. I don't have anything funny to say, so I thought I would go with gratuitous compliments. I'll take it. First of all, you're a very snappy dresser. She's referring to me, just so you know. Maroon appeals to me. I love the nectar of the gods, which is a Tanqueray and tonic, and your hair makes me smile.
Because it's all over the place?
Right. Hey, hush, little baby. I'm getting complimented. And then she kind of goes off the rails. Brett was an awesome choice for a co-host.
Oh, thank you very much.
Nope. Not right there. He's freaking hilarious and seems to be one hell of a guy. And so
we love you, Don.
While we appreciate that, Don, you can't go in that because you said bad things about Brett.
Bad things about Brett.
All right.
Way to go, Don. Woo! Baby.
All right. Next one is from we're gonna go with Tim Peters. Tim says, top of the morning to you, Scott. So clearly he's Irish.
Danny, you be quiet there. Danny goes, do they realize they don't need to say these things to win? We need to have two different hoppers then.
Hush, little baby.
Yeah.
Hush, little baby.
Danny, don't step on our mojo.
Sometimes it does help. Maybe karma does matter. All right? Come on. It's the Ignite Lounge. Oh, kind of gave it away. Oh, we already did that. I'm doing a boring entry this week in hopes that changing my luck, as I really want to rock one of those visors on the strip in 3 weeks. In other words, he's been given. He's like, okay, I'm going to go boring. He believes in karma. Right. And also Rogue Bar into Ignite Lounge. I'm feeling there's something to do with smoke coming on. Casa Fuente. Cheers, Tim, from Southeast Australia.
Wow.
What? That's what I'm talking about.
Is there a shrimp on the Barbie?
Hey, mate.
Thank you, Tim. Welcome.
Tim's a man.
Absolutely. Is that what is Southeast Australia? Canberra?
That's where all the good stuff is.
Is that Canberra?
Yes.
I'm just asking.
All the fun stuff's on the east side. Right, the Barrier Reef, that's east side. Okay, and the next one, this is from Alan Perry. Alan writes, this is a good one this week. I have an Ignite Lounge at Monte Carlo. The thing that I think that gave it away is in the background, assuming I'm correct, is I see the -5 lounge. That's right. If actually you could see the word Ignite in that picture if you look really carefully. Well, it sounded like it was hard. It says Ignite and it says -5 ice bar right on that same picture. So Alan wins for being
observant,
attentive, actually looking at the photo. Right. And then he also says, I'm Alan from Prescott. By the way, the locals here call it Prescott. not Prescott.
Right, that's true.
Did you know that?
Prescott, Arizona, yes.
Okay, well, look at you being all... Okay, so that's it. We've got 11 people in there.
On the drawing.
Mix it up. Get it all mixed up. Mixy, mixy, mixy. Here, let's do mixy music.
Do, do, do. We have to hurry up because we are running a little on time.
All right, here we go. And the winner is...
And the winner is this one.
Boink.
And it is... the cheating husband, Lloyd.
Lloyd,
the cheating husband.
Big hand for Lloyd. So both he and his wife have won now. What do they win? Well, God, that's not the one. Is that the one I want?
They can't have my cardinal hat.
Well, they, what have you won? Is it that one? No, that one. Well, they've won either an amazing time with your host, Scott Whitney. That's right. They're going to have a drink on me. Any place you want to go, I'll buy you that first ride. Or maybe you want to have a hat. Your wife has a hat. Why don't you have one, too? Hell, the whole family. I'm going to basically outfit your entire family by the end of this whole show. And if you're like, oh, that was pretty cool. And if you like music, and who doesn't, then you can have either Gajazzathon or one of the Crisp Acoustic CDs. Congratulations, Lloyd, with one L, who cannot be trusted because he doesn't know how to spell his own name. You are the winner of this week's Have a Drink on Me. Big hand for him. Okay, let's look at next week's Have a Drink on Me, or this week's thing. Let's go look at it. Here it is. Whoop. Okay, two pictures on this one. This is a tough one.
I'm looking for the name of the bar first.
It's not there. It's not there. Okay, hint number one. This is the number one place that bartenders in Las Vegas go to.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
This is the mixology heaven for all people who are in Las Vegas. Right. This is the place.
And you know this? How do you know this?
I did some research and saw a bunch of articles where like a bunch of bartenders were like, this is where I go for good drinks.
Okay.
It's very good. Number two, it has replaced Triple George as Melissa and my go-to place before we head off to the Smith Center. We used to go to Triple George to get a drink and some food. Now we go to this place for the best clams in the world and great drinks. And this is not on the Strip. It's not on the Strip. It's not downtown. And it's where we first discovered Moscow mules.
None of those clues, other than the first one, really gives you an idea of where it might be when you say not on the Strip.
It's west.
Well, I know it's on the west side of town because you don't travel on the other side of Las Vegas Boulevard.
Okay, it's west.
It's west.
And it's on, let's call it, it rhymes with Mahara. I guess that's as good as I'm going to get. All right, if you know where that is, you're going to send that email to
Mahara.
Have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. Again, have a drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. All right.
Can we give a
let's be done.
Different clue?
Would that help?
Yeah, sure. It previously was a fabulous Italian restaurant.
And by the way, if you watch this show or listen to this show, we have talked about this place.
Yes, we have.
And there was a point where one of us thought he got mugged there. That wasn't the right place.
No, not this place.
You thought when we talked about it, you thought it was that place, but it was not this place. You thought it was, it just worked me out. Well, and I will tell you, it's not Double Down.
Okay? No, that's a Double Down.
I know, somebody just popped that up. I'm just trying to be helpful. No. Okay.
Double Down is shut up and drink.
It's a great place to go. Please go there. All right. So we're at 139 or 130. We had another segment. We're not going to do it. We're going to cut this thing off.
We're not doing listener email?
No, we'll do that next time.
We got to do listener email. No, that's always fun.
We haven't got enough time.
Since when are we worried about time?
All right. Well, I'm worried about you.
Well, you only got two of them. Let's read them.
Well, the one of them, actually, we don't have to do. But this one we'll do because it's kind of funny. All right.
So play the song.
You just want to
hear. I want to hear the song.
Brad. Well, if you could just said that, I would have been like, well, I know what you're trying to do. Okay, here we go. Let's try that. Oops, that's the wrong one. Here we go. No, I'm on fire. I remember. Okay, that one we're not reading.
I know. I was reading it quietly to myself.
This is a listener email. This is
from
the part
a boy
where,
or a girl.
Oh, you actually get to read this. So it's a girl. This is where you send an email to where?
You send it to onairq@livinginlv.com.
Right, onairq.
Onairq, the letter LV. Q.
If it's a guy, I read it. If it's a girl, Brett reads it. This is from
chicks dig
a girl. This is from a girl named Danny. Here's Danny, who's in the live chat right now.
Oh, Danny's in the live chat.
Danny says
it's actually very short. Yeah. So last week I heard you dissing skinny chicks. So Scott, what do you have against skinny chicks?
Okay.
We weren't talking. We're talking about twigs.
Yeah. So we talked about
like girls who are 5'7" and 105 pounds.
Yeah, pipe cleaner people who pipe are just cleaner filthy people. And they're like,
yes.
You know, they're like, they're just not. It's not good. Okay. Let me explain. I don't have an issue with skinny girls. Here's what I have. I have an issue of scale. What I mean by that is this. Now I'm married. I love my wife. She's great. But let's say before I was married. We call it BM, before Melissa.
Or, BS, or bowel movement.
Or before Scott. See, back then, if I were with a skinny girl, I mean, you look at me, you're like, well, that's a good looking man. Well, he's in shape. He's kind of a stud. Yeah, but here's the problem.
Chicks love his hair.
Chicks love my hair. They want to put their fingers through it. I have many talents. I don't want to get into it, but I'm very talented on many things. But here's the deal. You place me next to a skinny girl, and we look like the number 10. And I don't like that.
You are the mound of rebound.
I am the zero. And I mean that in a lot of ways.
From hero to zero.
So I've got, you know, I've got the one girl. She's a skinny girl.
Right.
And you've got fat me, a zero. So it's not that I don't like skinny girls. Hell, I love everybody. I like women. I'm a women lover. Just ask me. I just don't like them next to me because it makes me look fat. And I don't want to look fat. Okay? That's it. Do you like skinny girls? Of course.
Well, as they say, fat bottom girls make the rockin' world go round, right?
That's right. And we're going to get another email from Danny. Goes, why doesn't Brett like skinny?
No, I like, well, you know.
I've already said it. I like to be able to feel.
See, I've always had.
I don't want to break somebody.
Well, if you look at things that I'm attracted to personally, and not, obviously looks are important, but
me.
Corollary number one,
yes,
is nice legs, because nice legs always lead to a nice butt. Typically, it's true.
Okay,
all right.
That's so funny watching.
I love. I'm trying to think of realizing this is going to be on other places. And then, honestly, the other stuff that is attractive to me is from the intellectual side of it, is a great sense of humor, yeah. Intelligence, all those kind of things that go into it.
Yep.
The ability to self-deprecating humor.
Yep.
People that can laugh at themselves are, I think, very confident in who they are in general. Just yesterday, my wife had the day off yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So I come home and she's got at the counter. And she's sitting on the table, and she's got paintbrushes and little paint tubes everywhere.
Right.
I go, well, what are you doing? She goes, well, you've always been telling me to take up a hobby, so I'm going to take up painting. I go, today? And then she painted something. I go, yeah, don't think that's going
to
work.
Maybe you should go back to winemaking.
She goes, that's not too good, is it? I go, no. I go, first of all, she was trying to do something for her mother for Mother's Day in Italian and doing some words in Italian along with the picture. Sure. And I'm going, I don't know where we're going with this, honey. She goes, nope, me neither. So
okay. They're both like, we're fidgeting. And we're
good.
I'm not, listen, I like all women. I love my wife. But
thank you,
Jackie.
I appreciate Jackie's comment.
What did she say?
She said she needs to find an unmarried Brett.
Isn't that sweet?
Nice? That's very nice.
Yeah. Yes. He's not all that great. Just so
no, I know.
Okay, all right. Everybody,
wait till the cameras are off.
I just like to know when I get all the fun stuff. Oh, Scott's pretty wonderful. Yeah, hell with you people. All right, hey, thanks for watching the big show, everybody. You guys were outstanding as always. Thanks to the live chat. Great as always. Hey, if you want to reach out to us, you can send an email to onairq@livinginlv. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. If you're watching us on the iTunes, please leave us a 5-star review. Why? Because your whites will be whiter, your brights will be brighter. This is not a promise, this is a guarantee. Other way around, this is a promise, not a guarantee. Why? I don't want you to sue me. You can also find us on YouTube, KSHP, Roku, Stitcher, Vegas Video Network, TuneIn, Facebook, Twitter. You know, we do a thing on the corner, a couple of words down there. We're having a good time there as well. You can't beat us. We're the best people ever. Thanks to Brett Grant.
Thank you.
I'm Scott Whitney.
Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody. Great time as always.
Buenos dias. Hasta la vista.
Buenas noches.
Hold on. Let's play some Mexican music. I will go now. And I have a crap accent.
I did not bring my sombrero. We need some video, Vegas Video Network sombreros right. for next year.
We'll see you guys next time.
More
Take
swag.
Care.
More
Bye.
Swag.
Kill the Mexican music.